Welcome to the Unstoppable Grit Podcast, where we dive into the mindset shifts and practical tools to help you break through the roadblocks standing between you and achieving your goals. I'm your host, Danielle Kobo, a former Fortune 500 senior sales manager who spent 15 years in the medical device industry and now the best-selling author of the book Unstoppable Grit. Think of this podcast as your go-to source for career advice and burnout prevention strategies to help you build a career and life you love. Now let's get started. Are you ready to discover practical tips for effective communication and conflict resolution in the workplace? Today's guest is Darlene Holly, and she works with individuals within organizations to strengthen communication in the workplace. Darlene, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today. What led me to contacting you was this expertise in authenticity. And before we jump into our conversation, please share with our listeners a little bit about where you started, where you're at today in your career journey.
Yeah, thank you, Danielle, so much for having me here. I'm thrilled to be here. And yeah, my story goes back, I feel like, so long. I've been an entrepreneur doing business coaching one-on-one with what I call service-based entrepreneurs who are looking to start their businesses and really get a strong foundation going so they can build consistent income in their business. And then I also work with corporations where I go in and teach communication trainings, working mostly on like the internal conversations they're having with inside their teams, as well as helping them with the external pieces, whether it's getting ready for big presentations, or if they are doing sales conversations and they want to be able to have a higher close rate with inside the organization, I come in and lead them through fun role plays. I love to start it with easy, fun, simple ways that get us up on our feet and get us embodied in the communication, and then slowly build it from there so they're able to have those harder conversations and really get more traction in their business, or be able to have that conversation with their employee or their team member who maybe they're bumping heads a little bit and things feel a little bit rough in the communication department. But how do we be more playful, say things in a succinct way that really can call people to take action, and it doesn't feel like we're nagging or being too hard on each other, and really find that way where it's a fun conversation and we can learn both from each other versus the spouse who's like upset because the dirty socks are on the ground for like the 1300th time. And like, how do we have those conversations without it being conflict?
Well, two things. It always amazes me how my husband can pack for a year-long deployment in duffel bags and have everything precisely packaged and rolled up into his duffel bags. But for some reason, just like you said, socks always seem to be all over the bathroom. Their laundry's hanging on the laundry basket, not in it. So I can relate to that a lot. And then you say the role-playing. Coming from 20 years of medical sales experience, I can immediately feel that like role playing. It's like that dreaded word. And I distinctly remember my team would roll their eyes and we would be doing role playing. But I truly believe there's a lot of value in it, because when you can have those, especially in a sales environment, when you're able to role play and practice and do it internally, it just provides you better skill sets to go and have that communication out with your customers and be concise and clear and kind of have already talked through maybe some of the questions that they're going to ask.
I remember when I worked back in retail management prior to starting my business, like role play felt icky because it was usually you were just thrown into it. You were supposed to have this like perfect pitch for what you're going to say when you get out of the sales floor. And it was just always awkward. Like there was no prep for it. And that's one of the things that I really pride myself in my business is helping like do it in like fun, playful, easy ways to get started so that we can step into it with more improv-y. It's more fun and light and easy. And then once we get it embodied, we can step into like those harder conversations, you know, whether if we're talking to a client because we want to be able to, you know, increase our sales for our department, that can feel like a big jump sometimes. Like you want me to get up and role play and you want me to do it this perfect way. But when we practice saying things out loud, and we practice with other people and we do it different ways and try different spends, like it just starts to get a life of its own and it's just easier. But so often, I know for myself, when I think back, I would role play in my head. I would practice conversations, or I would maybe make some bullet points for what I would want to say. And then I would think about it and like have the conversation internally. But then when I went to speak it out loud, it never came out the way that I wanted it to. I wasn't making the impact that I needed to in that moment. It felt awkward. Maybe there was my tone of voice or the way I said it didn't come off right. And now I know if I take a step back and think to myself, okay, I need to have a conversation with this person. We need to talk about this situation. I can go to them and be like, hey, Danielle, I'd love to have a conversation with you about X, Y, and Z. Are you free tomorrow at 10 o'clock so we can talk? Let's meet for coffee. And then it gives me a chance to really hone in on and practice what I want to say and think about what I want to say in a careful setting. And it also gives you a chance to be like, oh, Darlene needs to talk to me about this thing. I think maybe she's coming from this angle. You know, how do I want to handle it? What am I going to say? And so we come into a conversation where we're both prepped and prepared. And we've had a chance to, I like to call it like walking and talking. I walk around my living room or my kitchen sometimes just practicing whether it's a speech or if it's a conversation I need to have. I've done some role play with it. It feels more comfortable. And so when I go to say, have the conversation, it doesn't feel like it's the first time I've ever said it. And I'm even taken back by the words that I've said.
What do you think are some of the biggest challenges when it comes to communication in the workplace, when you're talking about some conflict resolution, crucial conversations? I know there's a lot of people, I also refer to it as like courageous conversations. What do you feel like some of the biggest challenges that people have in the workplace when it comes to communication?
Yeah, there's a lot of different things that I hear on a daily basis, but one of the biggest pieces I feel like comes up is that inner voice, the inner dialogue that we have internally within ourselves, whether it's imposter syndrome or the confidence piece of how we're showing up and how we're letting people see us, like that authentic piece. Like, are we showing up and being authentic? And are we having too many, what I call stories in our head? I don't know about you, but sometimes I start to play stories in my head before I've even had a conversation with somebody, or I've dug it a little bit deeper into what's coming up for myself in those moments. And I built this big story up. And 9 out of 10 times when I go back and look at it, things don't even play out the way that I envisioned it. I make it into this like huge, big mountain of a problem. And it's really just a little molehill and we like step through it really easily. And so I think oftentimes inside organizations, we are too afraid to go have those conversations because we're afraid somebody's going to jump down our throat. We're going to get fired. We're going to push people away. We're going to have people get upset. And we don't like conflict. Most of us don't enjoy conflict. I'm 100% in that category. I'm the last person that wants to have conflict. I'm a people pleaser by nature. But I've learned over the years that if I slow things down and I give myself a chance to like take a deep breath, relax my body, and maybe sometimes it's moving my body, doing some jumping jacks, moving that energy, I can go into the conversation and not feel like the stress that's coming from it. And we can have a clear dialogue. And I think oftentimes in organizations, we just don't trust our own voice. We don't trust that we're going to be able to have that conversation in a safe way where there's security in it without upsetting other people. And so a lot of times when I come in and work with teams, it's like, how do we start those communication lines so that we create a safe environment so we can speak up and use our voice? And sometimes it's even saying, hey, there's other people inside the organization we're not hearing from. I want to make sure we're having a level playing field where I want everyone to be able to have the microphone or to have say so in a meeting and be able to speak up. And so when we create that safe space as leaders, or even if we're just a part of a team and we're watching out for our coworkers and our colleagues, and we're giving that opportunity for us all to speak up, we can be ourselves. We take away some of that stress of getting it right. We don't have to get it right every single time. Like, we're all a work in progress. Sometimes we're going to mess up. Sometimes we're going to put our foot in our mouth. That's how we respond from there. We need to create safe places so we can grow and learn together. And if we do it wrong the first time, we work with each other and we find the right solution. And we find solutions, not just more problems.
There's two points that resonated with me of what you said, and that's the stories that we create in our head. So often we'll receive an email or a text message and it says, hey, can we talk tomorrow at 10 a.m.? And it could come from a manager, it could come from a customer. And depending on the relationship, we could just have these stories of possibilities of what could happen that may be completely different than the reality of what they want the conversation to be. I recently experienced, I was with a friend and we're out shopping and she received a text message from a client and it says, hey, can you talk tomorrow? Like, I have a question for you. it triggered something inside her where she started to think about, oh, what is this client going to say? Did she not think that our last conversation was good? Like the stories that were created ended up kind of affecting just her outlook for the rest of the day. I just immediately saw this facial expressions, her body language of being, this is so much fun and I'm hanging out with my friend and we're going shopping, to just, she sat down and she started to create stories of what might be happening and I'm talking her through it. And then when I found out what the conversation was, it was actually the customer going to her for advice. So it was completely opposite of what the story she was creating in her head. So how often do we experience that? We'll get a text message, we'll get an email, and it's so brief. And I like what you said was, if you are going to be sending a communication to somebody, hey, do you have time tomorrow at 10 a.m. to talk about X, Y, Z? So it kind of removes that ambiguity of what that conversation could possibly be. I know that there's a time where one of my team members, I received a customer complaint from this individual, and I just forwarded it to her and said, hey, do you have a minute to talk? I just wanted to see how can I support you in rebuilding this relationship with this particular customer. And it helped navigate that conversation a little bit better because it was more along the lines of how can I support you? And she was able to read through the email ahead of time and kind of just formulate her own thoughts before jumping on the phone as well.
Yeah, I think it serves us all when we give a little bit of context to what we're doing, because I don't know what the deal is with our minds, but we can go to that negative place and we're like, oh my gosh, I got a text from my client. They're going to fire me. Like, I must have upset them. They're going to tell me they don't want to work with me anymore. And oh my gosh, am I going to feed my kids and like put a roof? Like, we go down that hole so quickly and so easily. And like you said, like oftentimes it's like, hey, I just had a question, or I just wanted to like see what you're doing next week because I wanted to get together for a barbecue. And like, and yet we've told this whole story that isn't even so. I think it serves us really well when we can get better at communicating and even just saying like, I want to get together with you and here's what I'd like to talk about. I just want to get together and have some fun and catch up, or hey, I've got something going on at home and I need someone to bounce some ideas off of, or hey, I don't think our friendship's working out. I'd like to talk about that even. Like sometimes that's, I've had conversations like that where I'm like, this isn't working. And when we leave it too vague, especially when we think of being like in the workplace, and it can feel scary. If your boss or somebody on your team wants to talk to you, like for whatever reason, we go to that place of scarcity. Our mindset just goes there. So how do we alleviate some of those pieces? And I think one of the best ways we can lead by example is starting that practice of saying like, hey, we have a meeting next week. Even if we just think about all the meetings we have, whether we're entrepreneurs or we're working inside of organizations, we take a lot of calls, a lot of meetings, and sometimes we don't even know what they're about. And if we can just give a little bit of heads up, like, hey, I want to talk to you about these things, we can come into it prepared and not have that mental drain that holds us down and makes us feel like, woe is me, or what did I do? Or how do I handle this conversation if I don't even know where we're going with it?
Are you feeling burnt out and overwhelmed? Want to advance your career or find a new job? Maybe you want to build an impactful and profitable business. I left a highly successful Fortune 500 sales career to help people develop the grit, resilience, and courage necessary to thrive in a complex and changing market. In the show notes, you will find free workbooks with tips and strategies for attracting your dream job, advancing your career, preventing burnout, and building a business. Take advantage of your free workbook by downloading it now. And I also want to add to that is, as you said, our brains kind of go naturally to the negative. That's just the way that sometimes we are wired. And instead of thinking about what could possibly go wrong with a conversation, thinking about what could possibly go right with the conversation. And just that simple shift, and I don't want to say mindset because I know that sounds very woo-woo because everyone's talking mindset right now, but just that mental shift of thinking, instead of what could possibly go wrong and think about all the negative things that could be wrong, let's think about what could go right by approaching this conversation. And even just approaching it in the sense of there's been time, I've always been kind of conflict avoidance. I don't like to have these conversations either because I don't, but with the intention of like, I never want to hurt somebody's feelings or compromise the relationship. And what I've learned over the years is even just sometimes leading with that. I know initially, until I really developed the skills to have some of these crucial conversations, can I share something with you? And can I share that, you know, these conversations don't come easy to me. So if I fumble on my words or I say the wrong thing, that's probably not the intention. It's just that I'm learning this skill set of how to have these conversations. And at the end of the conversation, what I would like to happen is XYZ. And maybe it looks like I'm having this difficult conversation that maybe a customer has had a complaint about them. And we kind of got to talk about a few things. But ultimately saying, going into this conversation, at the end of it, I want to help you succeed. I want to help you rebuild this relationship with this customer. So when you talk about authenticity, even just saying these conversations are difficult and I may fumble on my words, like that in itself is authenticity.
Absolutely. And I work a lot with a lot of like HR leaders, talent and development, and they have a lot of these hard conversations in their roles with getting a team member up to speed to where they needed to be inside the organization. But like they're having those conversations to help them grow as a team and to develop. And it can feel hard. It's not easy to come in and say these things. Made me think too, like going back to retail management, I had so many conversations where I was like evaluating a team member after watching them on the sales floor. I was HR training, development, operations. And so it was part of my job was to sit back and watch like, hey, you did this amazing. We need to improve on this, but keep going. You're doing awesome. Like it was almost that sandwich feedback type of thing where it was like, let's start with something really positive, give them some love, and then find that one thing that they were doing wrong and then talk to them about that. And then like give them that another big like love fest at the end. So they feel happy, go lucky. And we like sandwich that negative stuff in the middle and we almost glaze over it. Like we're not really hitting on it because we're too focused on making them feel good. But if we can come into a conversation and say, hey, I feel like XYZ, I feel like you're not seeing me. I feel like you're not listening to the things that I'm bringing to our conversations during the meeting. Not saying you don't listen to me, you never hear me, pointing the finger at them, but saying this is how I feel. This is what's coming up for me in this moment. I'd love to discuss it and see, you know, where you're coming from in this place. And that shifts the conversation as well, because so often we point our fingers and when we use the word you, it automatically puts up like this defensive brick wall in between us. And now we're at like a standoff. Where if we just sit back and say, this is how I'm feeling, and this is what I'm struggling with, and this is what I'm thinking, I've got a couple ideas for some things that we can do to improve this. And you come to the table, not with more problems, but you're sharing your heart, you're being authentic and true to who you are. And then you're also bringing some solutions to the table for where you can go. That changes the whole entire dynamic from defensive and the places it can go from there.
Yes, 100%. The minute you say you, it's like that wall goes up. It's defensive. They're just trying to guard themselves. One of the teachings that I learned in one of the leadership trainings, it was a 6-month leadership training that I took, and it was my experience of you or my observations, or when I had customer complaints about a particular rep, it was the customer's perception. It is about my experience, my observations, whether I'm right or wrong, or the customer's perception. It is not a finger pointing. And I think that a lot of people, especially when stepping into leadership positions for the first time, one of the most challenging aspects of a leadership position is these types of conversations. You have somebody on your team who might not be performing. You've got to put them on a performance improvement plan. How do you put them on a performance improvement plan and talk about the things, the aspects of the role that they're not meeting the expectations on, but make it where they feel supported and we're putting a plan together to get them to where they need to be to succeed versus here's all the things that you're doing wrong and we're about to fire you. And I've seen performance improvement plans go two different ways. I remember I had one team member where she was on a performance improvement plan, but when done well, I mean, she wasn't meeting her goals, but then that next quarter and the quarter after that, I mean, she killed it. She was crushing her goals in sales, but it was being able to have like using that as an opening conversation and a vulnerable conversation to say, hey, here's what's not meeting the expectations, but that does not define you. And here's, let's build a plan and let me support you. And what are your biggest challenges? And let's navigate through this together and walk along side by side with you.
Yeah. You have to have those candid conversations. Like, they're not always easy, especially as leaders. If we're leading teams and we're, whether we have a team of one or we have a team of 100, like, we have to have those harder, candid conversations so we can help them improve and give them some clarity so they can have the confidence to really step up and see where they're a little bit deficient or they need a little bit more training. And sometimes it's on the leaders. Like, oftentimes we blame our team members for not being up to speed. But when we look back at it, a lot of the leaders that I work with, they have some work they need to do as well to make sure they're getting the team up to the place that they need them to be for that standard. And if we can work with the leaders and then also come in and do team trainings with the whole entire team while working with that leader, like, the whole team rises together. What's that saying? The rising tide
rises
together. I'm not good at metaphors. I don't know why I always try to use them. But when we all come together and we're all working for the same objective and the same goal, we can really rise together. And that's what we want to do as leaders. We're not trying to make ourselves look better. Like, when our team looks good, that makes us look good. It's not about making you as the leader in the organization, like, you're so mighty and powerful. But when your team rises up and lifts you up and supports you, like, that's when you can really change the trajectory of where you're going and also get your team promoted, worked up with you. And that's, I think, what we want to do as leaders. Like, so we don't, like, that old model of, like, this is who I am and I'm so amazing and my team, they're just helping me get there, but there's nothing special about them. Like, no, the team members that you're working with, like, they're there to support you and to help you, and you're there to help support and encourage them. How do we, like, bring that together to the surface and not have it to where, like, there's this big gap where I'm the boss and you're just on my team?
I love what you said about, what I heard you say was this reflection. And if there's somebody on your team that may not be meeting the expectations of the roles and the responsibility, instead of pointing the finger and saying, well, you're not doing it, it's also looking at that saying where they say, the minute you point your finger at somebody else, there's three fingers pointing back at you. Yeah. So if somebody's not meeting the expectation, there's also an opportunity to look in the mirror and say, well, did I set this person up for success? What can I do to help this person get to where they need to succeed? Because it's not all that individual. It is a partnership when it comes to the leader and the team member. There's a lot of people that I have seen that have really struggled in their role. And then all of a sudden they have a new manager and they're crushing it. So it is a good, what I heard you say that resonates is the reflection and looking in the mirror too, that is important as well.
That leadership runs deep through your team. And so if you can step up and help support them, like, the more that you're there to support them and encourage them and give them the tools that they need so they can grow and develop, the better it is for you. And so often I go into and work with a team in an organization and there's that gap. The employees don't feel like they can talk to the leader. The leader doesn't feel like they're getting any traction with their team. And when we come in and start having those conversations and, like, close that gap and make them feel seen and heard, they start to shine. They start to show up and be a team. And then the whole entire department starts doing amazing. They're hitting their goals. They're having more fun at work. It doesn't feel like a job anymore where they're regretting going in and, like, they just have to go in and clock in and do their stuff and, like, they can't wait to leave. There's a community that starts to build together. They start to build their confidence as a team. And it impacts every single person in that whole entire team, where oftentimes, you know, if one person doesn't feel like they're part of the team, it can drag them down. How do we get the teams to come together and really play and have fun and enjoy the work that they're doing? It's passion and it's exciting, and they can come to work and they can say, like, hey, I'm having a really rough day because this thing's happening at home. Or they can also not feel like they have to, like, hide that, and where they're trying to, like, put on this smiley fake face when they're at work. I think we can all feel that. You can tell when someone's ingenuine and they're not showing up the way they want to versus when they feel connected to you. They feel like they have somebody they can confide in. They can share what's going on with and still get their job done and do the things that need to get done.
And that's exactly what a dream job is. A dream job is when you go to work, you have purpose, you have passion, you enjoy what you do. I'm not going to say that you're going to love every single day. There's always challenges and pitfalls that are within any organization and role, but that right there, when I think of a dream job, the dream job is when you enjoy going to work, when you feel like there's a sense of purpose and fulfillment and you enjoy the people that you're working with, no matter what the exact roles or responsibilities. I also think of that dream job is, are you in alignment with what your strengths are, what you enjoy doing? That is the dream job. So, well, I thoroughly appreciate you joining the podcast and our conversation and the advice that you give on having these authentic conversations that can be sometimes difficult to have. Is there any other advice that you want to leave with our listeners?
Yeah, just keep showing up as yourself. I think the biggest thing that I see from leaders is we worry too much about what other people think about us. And we're trying to put, like, we're wearing this mask all day and it feels exhausting. And by the time we get home from our day and we're with the people we love the most, with our family, oftentimes we take it out on them. And I think as leaders, if we can show up as ourselves at work and really have fun with it and be more playful and more joyful, it's going to stream into every single area of our lives. It's going to make our home life easier. It's going to make our team more excited to be together. Find ways to have fun, play more. Though I was at a company recently and we were talking about work and home balance. And I don't believe really in finding that balance. I remember when I left retail management before I started my business, I envisioned like this perfect teeter-totter where work life was going to be amazing and perfect and everything was going to be working great. And then everything at home was going to be perfect and great. And I never found that teeter-totter ever balanced out. So I started calling it harmony. Like, we're going to have days, we're going to what I call ebb and flow. Every day is going to be a little bit different. We have to give ourselves grace, give our team members grace, and know that we're not just clocking in at work for 9 to 5 and then we're leaving our personal life at home and vice versa. Like, how do we show up and know that we're looking for this harmony? Like, we're going to have some days that we're going to focus more on our team and our jobs and the things that we're doing on. And then other days, family is going to happen. And how do we see that? Especially, I think if we learned anything through the pandemic, like finding that harmony to be able to take our family life and our work life and really blend those things in really well, that allows people to show up as themselves. That allows them to be true and authentic to who they truly are. And that impacts every single thing they touch, that ripple effect that goes out into the world. That's what we want. It's beautiful. It helps the legacy of our lives. It helps the generations, you know, the things that have happened in the past and how we make those changes and we start showing up the way that we really want to be and just be you. Like, have fun with it and use your voice. Speak up, stand out, make an impact, and do things that you love every single day.
Okay. I don't think there's any other way to just leave our listeners with a boost of inspiration. I've got goosebumps after listening to that. Thank you. I just truly believe that that is some beautiful advice. Speak up, stand in your presence, the work-life harmony, just very, very inspiring. So thank you so much for joining.
Yeah. Thank you, Danielle, for having me. It was great to see you.
Thank you for listening to the Unstoppable Grit podcast with Danielle Cobo. If you found today's episode resonating and inspiring, kindly take a moment to craft a review. Your review holds the potential for Apple and Spotify to share the Unstoppable Grit podcast with others. Furthermore, consider extending the ripple effect by sharing this episode with those around you, family, friends, colleagues, and anyone who could benefit from the insights and stories shared here. Also, be sure to visit daniellecobo.com for more resources on cultivating resilience and unleashing your inner grit. We'll be back soon with another empowering episode. Until then, be unstoppable.